28, Tanzil Rahman is the member for Fong Lim and chair of the Legal Constitutional Affairs Committee, is leading the new investigation into VAD in the Northern Territory. Tanzil, welcome to the studio. So let's start back at the beginning here. Before the country Liberals came into power last year, there was an independent report into voluntary assisted dying. It was handed down in the final days of the Labor government. Why wasn't that just accepted, carte blanche, rather than a new investigation going on?
Morning, Adam. Top of the morning to you. First of all, I'm in no position to say why the former government did or didn't act on the expert report that was handed down in 2024. What I'm doing now is moving the agenda forward in partnership with a committee made up of members of the government, members of the opposition, members of the crossbenchers. And what we are seeking to do is bring resolution to this issue for Territorians.
We have seven state and territory legislate on this issue. Obviously, the Northern Territory has some unique characteristics, but they were addressed in 1995. Why do we need another inquiry?
Well, again, the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee didn't ask for this inquiry, but we were asked to conduct this inquiry less than 2 months ago on the 14th of May. And what we are doing is proceeding in earnest at a pace and making good progress on that task. As to the people who chaired the former independent expert report, we've heard from them along with a number of others already to help guide our work, because what we're seeking to do is not reinvent the wheel here, but to do a final sweep of consultations and try and get us to resolution on this issue as expeditiously as possible.
One of your terms of reference is to evaluate VAD models and safeguards. You've had a look at, obviously, the legislation that operates in the different jurisdictions, and they vary slightly around
the
place. Which is the ones that have attracted your most attention?
Look, we're not cherry-picking from one or any specific model. What we are doing at this stage is doing things sequentially. So the first task for us, in our terms of reference, was to put together a thorough consultation paper. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we received this inquiry on the 14th of May. Next Monday, the 14th of July, in only 2 months, and having also navigated budget estimates, the May budget sittings, a bunch of festivals and all the other things that happen during the dry seasons, we will be releasing our consultation paper. So on Monday, all Territorians will be able to download a copy of the consultation paper, which is an exhaustive 50-page document which goes through all the key issues to help us get to resolution.
What about the risk? We see it often in the Northern Territory where you have loud minorities can then sway the outcome of events. Regularly, I see this happen. Is there a risk by releasing a 50-page consultation document that those that are feverishly against VAD will become the loud voice there?
Well, not if you're careful about how you design a research project and then also conduct an inquiry. We're not trying to replace everything that's been done for 30 years. What we're doing, as I said, is putting all the key issues on the table and inviting on Monday 250 organisations to make a submission, a written submission to the inquiry, as well as all Territorians. And they can do that by sending in a written submission or calling the VAD hotline and giving us verbal testimony, as well as during August, when the committee will be going to, at this stage, 12 locations around the Northern Territory to hear from testimony on the ground from Territorians.
The Chief Minister was a little critical of the former independent report into VAD, saying it only spoke to people who were basically living on either side of the Stuart Highway in the centre of the Northern Territory. Did you agree with that when you had a look at the previous report?
Oh, not entirely. I think that the Chief Minister wasn't entirely wrong in the sense that there was a concentration of testimony gathered in some urban centres. But having said that, there was consultation done out previously in remote Indigenous communities as well. And it was an exhaustive piece of work. And nobody on our committee has, any axe to grind with the former report. What we've been asked to do is to evaluate and progress the issue, because what the former report wasn't tasked with doing was getting us to a bill. And that's what we're seeking to do. So when we're talking about those areas that are off the spine, off the Stuart Highway, tentatively at this stage, we are looking in August to be in Alicurang, Alice Springs, Borroloola, Darwin, Galawinku, Maningreen, Anuka, Papunya, Santa Teresa, Warramiyanga, Tennant Creek, a couple of other places as well. But all of that is subject, of course, to individual communities wanting us to come and consult with them and being available, and, of course, subject to resources as well.
So that's the next point. So you'll put it out to consultation. What's the timeline from there?
The timeline is the same as it's always been. In our terms of reference, we were asked to respond back to the Attorney General by the end of September, which we will do. What we have done to this stage is basically meet very frequently, get a consultation paper together. A short consultation guide, which will be translated and interpreted into a number of languages, will also be put together in the coming weeks and distributed widely across Aboriginal communities and culturally and linguistically diverse communities. And then from that point onwards, from August, the committee and I will essentially be on the road for the best part of August. We will come back and report to the House again at the start of September sittings.
Then what happens? Could a bill, I mean, you've got a large majority at the moment. A bill could be passed quite easily.
Well, this is the key difference that we need to make here. This is no longer the job of the government. Right now, this is the job of a bipartisan committee. Our job is to deliver on this inquiry, and when we deliver on this inquiry, the government will have to decide how it wants to proceed. What I would say is it's worth having a modicum of perspective on how long it takes to get VAD up and running. Every state and territory in Australia does now have a piece of legislation, but for example, in the ACT, VAD isn't yet available. It will be available in practice at the end of this year, but it takes time even after you get a bill into the House to get it passed, to then get it implemented. The UK, for example, in the last couple of weeks passed a VAD law for the first time, or the first stage of it in the House of Commons. They estimate that they will have that in place in implementation phase in 2029. So Australian jurisdictions actually have been comparatively fast at dealing with this once they have a bill and pass a bill. My job is to make sure we conduct a thorough inquiry and get towards a bill if appropriate.
I know there are some people facing end of life who are listening to the program this morning. What do you say to them or their families about the fact that they don't have access to the same rights that almost every other Australian has at the moment?
Oh, they have my sympathy, of course, first and foremost. And all I can say sincerely is that myself and my committee are working collegiately and cooperatively to try and get this issue resolved for Territorians as fast as we possibly can.
Top of the morning to you,
Tamsil. Top of the morning to you, Adam. Thanks for having me.
It's Tamsil Rahman, who's a member of Fong Lim and chair of Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee.